my blessing and hopefully yours for me to share this morning's message. And this message is on finding our strength in Jesus alone. But before I begin, I really feel like I need to pray. So please join me in that. Lord God, may you be glorified this morning in every life, in every person, in every child of God. May you be given the glory today. Lord, a young man prayed a beautiful prayer for me earlier this week in regards to this message. He said, Lord, we love Jordan. We care for him. We appreciate what he does in our church so much. But Lord, we don't want to hear from Jordan. We want to hear from you, God. So Lord, may you speak through me. May your word penetrate deeply to the hearts and minds and souls of all the people here, and may it equip us to go beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. On your chair today, or on the chair next to you, you would have seen an invitation here for our Easter services coming up. And I want to start by clarifying this. This here is not a reminder for you and what time the services are on. We've been doing Easter services at these same times for quite a while. This here is an invitation for you to pass on to someone else who is not here today, to come and encounter Jesus as a part of our Easter services. So can everyone please take hold of this right now? If you don't have one, that's okay. We can get more and so forth. And what I want you to do is I want you to raise it up and I want you to follow what I'm about to say. So I want you to repeat after me, Lord, this is not for me. This is for me to give to someone who needs Jesus. Show me who I need to give it to. Amen. So I just had to start with that. So if you don't know this, you're attending a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. And over this month, we have been exploring what the Christian and Missionary Alliance church believes. And there's this thing that particularly our president, Ken Graham, says, and he says, missionary is our middle name. We aren't a church with missionaries. We are missionaries that just happen to go to church on Sundays. That means each and every one of you is being called as a part of being in this church to share the gospel. And there's this line that we, the Alliance Church, sometimes use as a part of this called, we say we want to share all of Jesus to all of the world. That is our goal. That is our hope, all of Jesus to all the world. And with that, I just want to begin by showing a little video on that topic. So, please work.
The Alliance has always been a deeper life and missions movement. We care about bringing all of Jesus to all the world.
God, being the Good Shepherd, cares about that one lost sheep. And the reality of our world today is that 42% of the people groups around the world are unreached.
One culture alone is not enough to magnify God's name. And it's going to take all of us together. We see that in Revelation, that it's every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And that is why it's for all the world, because all of us together are made to glorify God.
The Great Commission is the responsibility of the whole church. We have to send gospel presence to every part of the globe, whether that be across oceans to some of the hardest, most difficult to reach places, or in our own neighborhoods down the street.
Going to all the world is something that is more than just a commandment from God. It's a lifestyle. And if we do this, we're going to actually see Jesus in all nations.
This is an invitation from Jesus. And Jesus invites us to share that invitation to others so that they will get a chance to respond and become part of our family.
Experiencing all of Jesus is knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're never alone.
All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us.
So to share the gospel is a key part of what it means to be a Christian. Hi, Ollie. But I want to encourage you all here and say that sometimes we struggle to share Jesus. Sometimes we're unsure how to do that. When I first became a Christian at 18 years old, I decided to get baptized. And then about 4 weeks after that, I was attending youth group, and my youth leader asked me, had I been telling anyone about what Jesus had done for me? And my response was that I wasn't sure I knew Jesus enough to tell anyone about him. I wasn't sure how to tell people about Jesus. And overall, I didn't have the confidence to tell people about what Jesus had done for me. That was what I told my youth leader. And I want to ask you a question here. Can I please get you to raise your hand? And I want you to raise your hand if you have struggled at times to share Jesus with the people around you. So that there is pretty much everyone. I want to thank you for that. My youth leader responded to me at that time with a deep compassion and empathy and said, you know what? I struggle at sharing Jesus too sometimes. I struggle so much, and I think that many Christians struggle. He responded empathetically and compassionately. But I wonder if he could have given me something more. Because unknown to my youth leader, when I heard that many Christians struggle to share about Jesus, I took that as permission for me to not tell anyone about Jesus for years and years in my initial faith. He responded with compassion and empathy, but I really wonder, should he have challenged me to continue to share Jesus, even though I lacked confidence? The truth is, we can all lack confidence in sharing with others about Jesus. But here is another truth. We are to lean on Jesus' strength and a capability, not our own. Over the last month, we've been exploring how Jesus is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. We started off with Ben sharing the message that Jesus saves us from our sins and that we have salvation in him. Then Hannah came and she shared about how Jesus is a sanctifier, how he helps us stop looking like ourselves. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we start to look more like Jesus. Then Ben 2 weeks ago shared about how Jesus is a healer and that he brings physical, emotional, and spiritual healing to each of us. Then last week, Ben shared again about how Jesus is returning as a coming king, and this is our dearest hope that we will one day see him face to face. Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming king. This is what we believe about Jesus. But here is what I want to remind you of today. It is the strength of God, not our own strength, that makes all of this possible. We can't save ourselves and we can't save other people without Jesus. We don't look more like Jesus without Jesus helping us along the way. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't perform miracles. If I could perform miracles without the power of Jesus, there would be multiple people in our church who would have been healed a long, long time ago. But I can't do that. Only God can bring healing over people's lives. And a key part of the gospel message, and not just the gospel message, but the whole Bible, is how we need to stop thinking of ourselves as the king of our life, because let's face it, that's what we do. We think we're the one that makes the decisions and we're the ones that's on top. And we need to recognize Jesus' kingship in that place. And that's something that we can't do without ourselves. Savior, sanctifier, healer, coming king. These are attributes of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is by his power these things are made possible in our life, not our own. But I want to tell you this beautiful, beautiful thing. We are invited to participate in a renewed, deep, and powerful relationship with Jesus and his plans for the world. So let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who I am talking about? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven on earth? Do you know him as your Savior? In a week's time, we'll be celebrating the central event of all of human history. And while our nation may have forgotten what Easter is about, we as Christians look upon the cross with wonder and amazement. Because what we believe as Christians is this: we came into this world completely consumed by bondage, sin, and death. But God, seeing that we could not save ourselves, provided his son as an atoning sacrifice, who would die on a cross and then be raised on the third day back to life by the power of God, so that all might be saved. God provided Jesus to deal with an unconquerable sin problem in our lives. Salvation in Jesus is only possible by God's power and love. We could do nothing to save ourselves, but God made a way by providing his son Jesus. And in the death of Jesus Christ, death itself lost all power over us. And in his resurrection, Christ's strength, the power of God, was proclaimed to all. And God made all this possible by his own power. We did nothing to contribute. But if God has done all that is necessary to save us, without any need of our strength, then we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do in response? And to this, I would offer that we need to tell people about what Jesus has done. Each and every one of us as Christians need to tell the lost of the incredible saving power of Jesus. We may not think of ourselves as an evangelist. We may not think we are equipped to share about Jesus, and we may not know what to do. However, regardless of whether you're a new believer or if you have been a Christian for decades, God commands that we all tell people about the saving work of Jesus Christ. For some amazing reason, God has chosen us to reveal his glory to the world. All of Jesus for all the world. That is our commission that we have been given. It's called a great commission in the scriptures. It's a requirement for people like us to go and tell people what Jesus has done for them. We need to give them this message that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived, died on a cross, and 3 days later was raised to life so that we could have a relationship with God. We need to tell people who haven't come to salvation in Jesus that they were born a rebel against God, that they live under the power of sin and death, and this owns them completely. We need to tell them that the specter of death is following them everywhere that they go. But we need to tell them that Jesus Christ, the hope of all glory, can change that. We need to tell them that Jesus Christ gives them eternal life, and all they need to do is accept the free gift of salvation. This is what the message of the gospel is, that we did not do anything, but Jesus died so that we might live. Because for all these people who are lost, all these people who have yet to know Jesus, their life is on a precipice. You can't live your life without Jesus and have hope for eternity. Many people believe that if they just do good, God will recognize that and that'll be enough. But if you can get into heaven by just doing good, you don't need Jesus. You don't need him to die for you if you can do it by your own strength. And so with that, we need to tell people that when the time comes for them to experience their final breath on this world, we would much rather they die in this world as a child of Christ and judged accordingly than them dying as a rebel and heading, as Jesus says, to the place of much weeping and gnashing of teeth. We would much rather they come and participate in the joy that we as Christians are not only have discovered, but are continuing to discover as we trust Jesus in increasing measure in our life. We need to tell people the truth of Jesus. Here's a reality I want to offer you. When we lose hold of the truth, the power, and the relevance of Jesus Christ's saving gospel message, we lose all heart for missions. Because without the truth, the power, and the relevance of the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ, we've got nothing to say as a church. But what if we lack confidence, don't know how to tell people about Jesus, or just feel it's too hard? The title of our series this year is Guard Your Heart. And the scripture that goes with it is Proverbs 4:23, which states, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it." Guard your heart. In this case, we need to guard our heart from ourselves, because we can say, "Lord, I don't have the confidence," and then suddenly we're not going to have the confidence. "Lord, I'm not capable," when we look at us rather than Jesus, well, that's not going to work out very well. It is easy for us to justify not doing something because we don't know something or lack confidence, but we need to guard our heart even from ourselves. I want to share a story with you from my own life. About 7 months ago, Shanae and I became parents to two incredible boys, William and Jackson. It's been a true adventure, and so many people in our church have told us they admire us for what we have chosen to do. But the truth is, when the opportunity to take William and Jackson into our family was presented to us, I didn't want to do it at all. I have never had much experience with babies and toddlers. And what I knew about them is this. They poop, they vomit, they pee, and they make a lot of loud noise. And I knew that if Shane and I were to take on the boys, it would be incredibly difficult. I knew we would lose sleep, that it would drain our energy and time, and that would rob us of things like our mental health and our ability to work as well for the church. That sometimes robs us of our mental health too, but that's a side point. I didn't want to do it because I could see that it would be so hard, because I knew I wouldn't have the strength. And then God asked me to say yes, and I said no. I said no because I didn't guard my heart. I could see how my absence of strength wouldn't be enough, and I wasn't willing to look to God and the strength that he would provide. But then I was reading the Bible, and I read how that true love is this, to take care of widows and orphans in their distress. And I asked God to reconfirm again if he was saying yes. And he brought me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, where it says that as Christians, we are adopted into God's family. And God asked me then, if he had adopted me into his family, why was I not willing to adopt others into mine? So I came to Shane and said, yes, I was willing to take on the boys. But here's the truth. I hadn't guarded my heart. I didn't say yes because I knew God's strength would help me. I mainly said yes because I was worried that if I didn't obey God, I would be seen as a hypocrite by each of you here today. I would have been seen as someone who was willing to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. And it was honestly the fear of the loss of authority and possible judgment from each of you, not a joy in God's strength, that resulted in me saying yes at this time. You see, I know myself. This is why I said yes, because I was worried about what people would think if I didn't honor God. I wasn't worried about what God wanted. I was worried about myself. The consequences of this were difficult. I found myself from day one completely and utterly resenting and hating the boys. I resented and hated Shane that she was so open to following God in this area. My hope in general faltered. I got overwhelmed by suicidal thoughts and just wanted to die so much that I could get out of the situation. I used every single strength and resource I had available to me, and it wasn't enough. That's how things began with the boys in our life. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." When we lean on our own understanding, we look at ourselves. We look either to the resources we have or the resources we lack, and this gets in the way of us trusting God. Yet what God commands us to do is to trust him with his whole heart and lean not on our own understanding, to trust in God and go beyond ourselves. And he gives us this amazing promise that when we submit our ways to him, he will make our path straight. And I read this scripture and I was like, straight to what? And that's actually the wrong question, because it's actually straight to who. God makes our path straight so that we can quickly come to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who is mighty to save. We only have to stop looking at ourselves, and Jesus will be revealed. I want to encourage you by reading Jesus' own teaching on the matter, and for that I'm going to bring you to Luke 9, starting at verse 18. Here it says, Once Jesus was praying in private and his disciples with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone about this. So we have Jesus here asking two questions. And the first of those questions is, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And we get some pretty random answers here. And to that I say, if I went down to Kuhlman Court after this message and I asked different people who Jesus was, I'd probably get different answers. Some might say he was a historical figure, a teacher, maybe a fraud or a myth invented by the church. Maybe there are some people who would come to say, "He's my Lord and Savior. That's who Jesus is to me." But the second question is the one that really cuts home for the disciples. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answers, "God's Messiah." And he absolutely nails it. He nails exactly who Jesus is. Consider for a moment the question, who is Jesus to you? Perhaps the most famous quote from the famed Christian and Missionary Alliance theologian A.W. Tozer is the line, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And by extension, I'd like to offer that what we think about Jesus, who he is to us, is just as important. God's Son. For the disciples, their acknowledgement of Jesus comes with two choice pieces of information. The first is this, and Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus gives them insights into his very future, and he tells of the people that are going to reject him. These are the highest people in society of the time. They're the people that should know the most about God, but at this time, that is not a good thing because they use that knowledge and they rely on their own strength. And because they rely on their own strength, they're going to reject Jesus. Think about this for a moment. Jesus was crucified by people who chose to rely on themselves rather than God. The next thing that Jesus says is this. Then he said to him, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Some translations say their very soul. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. At the time, crucifixion was an instrument of torture used to humiliate people. But Jesus flips things on his head, saying that for people to put themselves in Jesus' arms is for people to put themselves in death's embrace. And to fully know who Jesus is. But the necessity is we abandon ourselves so that we can take on the same life as Jesus. Jesus who died on a cross so that we might live. And so we are given the same invitation to pick up a cross so that we would be united with Christ in death, so that we would know him in life. Paul in Galatians 2 speaks about this when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so we have been invited to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and die to self, so that Christ may live in us fully and completely. Let me for a moment again rely on the words of A.W. Tozer. he states that there are three distinctive marks of someone who have taken up their cross and been crucified with Jesus. First, they are facing only one direction. Jesus wasn't raised up on the cross and said, "Hey, gents, can you turn me around? I want to look at the other direction to see if there's a better view." And this direction, to clarify, is that our life is no longer scattered against competing desires. It becomes unified against with one person and one purpose, that Jesus Christ would be our everything. The second trait of a crucified person is that they can never turn back. Crucifixion is final. There is no coming down from the cross to resume your old life. This is not to say that we as Christians do not stumble or fail in our faith, but rather we will never truly go back fully and completely to our old way of life. And lastly, a crucified person has no plans of their own because their death is imminent. One direction, no turning back, no plans of their own. This is the way of Jesus and the cross. This is what it looks like to deny oneself and pick up your cross, to give it all to Jesus and hold nothing back. This is what Jesus asks of us. Those eyes are on him, and him alone are those eyes that will be glorified in the presence of God in the time to come. I want to share with you of an amazing joy. And so I want to share with you a bit more about what's been happening with the boys. Earlier in the week, I was woken by a screaming baby. Now, if you're a parent, you know how unpleasant that is. You're in the peaceful joy of slumberland, and then there is screeching, and it is painful. But here's the thing. Before the boys go to sleep, every single night without fail, Shane and I pray that the boys in some way would be reminded of the love of God. And so, picking up a screaming baby who would soon go asleep on my chest, I began to pray that our little baby would be reminded of the love of God. And with a calm, peaceful assurance, this thought came to me that I can only assume was of God. And it was this. Our little one was being reminded of God's love because he was being held by a father who loves him dearly. And I took joy in this because even in my lack of strength, I was encouraged that God was caring for me as well. As I was holding this little baby, so am I held in the presence of God as well. When we come to Jesus, we come naked, ashamed, and full of an arrogance that we are able to do things by ourselves. But when we choose to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, we are brought into a deeper relationship with God. And there in Jesus, we will find a joy, a hope, and a love that will change the world. For me, this means two boys that were once abandoned will now grow up in a home filled with God's love. But what about you? How will taking up your cross lead to joy as those people God places before you come back to salvation in him? I'm going to invite Andrew to come up and just start playing on his guitar because I want to pray, and I know we're running late and so forth, but I want to do things a bit differently. First of all, I want to do this prayer is that they're going to be three separate groups of people. And I'm pretty sure that everyone here will be at least one of these groups. The next step for this prayer is that it is participatory. So that means what I'm going to ask each group to do in turn is to stand up when you're part of the group being prayed over. And lastly, you'll need that piece of paper again that tells about our Easter services as a part of this. So make sure you have that. What I want everyone to do is close their eyes and bow their heads, and I'll invite the first group of people to stand up. Our first group of people is for those people who realize they need to accept Jesus as their Savior today. They realize that living according to their own strength is not working. They realize that sin and death is a problem that they can't deal with themselves, and they need Jesus as a Savior. They realize that they need to become a Christian today and give their lives over to Jesus for perhaps the first time. This group might also include those people who have long had faith but have stepped away and, like a prodigal, need to come back. I'm going to ask right now that if you need Jesus as your Savior in your life, could you please stand up right now? Lord, I want to pray for those people who know they need Jesus. I want to pray that you would be with them and that you would bring them to salvation today, that they would know your peace and assurance and joy in exchange for the death that they once lived with. Lord, I ask that you would go before these people and that you would bring them to Christ in you. In Jesus' name, amen. The second group of people that I want to ask to stand up is people who are Christian, but people who have fallen back into the habit of leaning on their own strength rather than in God's strength. This might be people who need to discover what it means to have Jesus' sanctifying presence in their life, where they look at their life and you go, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I still need more of Jesus. Maybe it's people who have hidden sins that they keep on coming back to continually over and over again. Maybe it is people that need the miraculous healing presence of God to heal them from sickness. Maybe there are people here who think that their circumstances overwhelm their faith in God. Maybe this group includes people who don't know what Jesus wants them to do. Because if you don't know what Jesus wants you to do in life, then you need to come back to him. So I ask people in this category, people who are saved but who keep on going to their own strength, or they need God's power to transform them in some way, to stand up now. I'm in this category as well. I want to just call out some other things. Maybe you need to stand up because you're dealing with depression, anxiety, and mental illness, and you need Jesus to break the power of that. Maybe you need to stand up because you're at your wit's end. Maybe you just need a moment with Jesus today. Lord God, we come before, Lord, and I pray for myself and I pray for all these people here today who are standing up. Lord, maybe you need to restore a broken relationship in their lives. But Lord, regardless of people's circumstance and situation, Lord, we ask that even before we ask for transformation, we ask that you would glorify yourselves in these people's lives. Lord, may you glorify yourself as only you are able to do. And Lord, we come and we pray for the various circumstances that people are experiencing ailment and weariness from. And Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over these situations. We speak the name of Jesus over those who keep on coming back to hidden sins, to hidden addictions. We speak the name of Jesus to those who need miraculous healing and restoration. We speak the name of Jesus to those who need restoration in their marriages. We speak the name of Jesus to those people who need a divine encounter with your Holy Spirit today. And Lord Jesus, however you may will, in whatever form, we ask you humbly that you would come and glorify yourself in the lives of the people of your church today. For all glory, all power and honor is yours, Jesus. And so we say together in Jesus' name, amen. The last group of people is this. I spoke earlier about how sometimes we can lack confidence in sharing the gospel. Yet we as Christians are all commanded to share the gospel. And I want to pray for those people in your lives that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to pray specifically that God would come alongside people and would equip you to be sharers of his word, sharers of Jesus. And I want to pray for the salvation of those lost people in our lives. Can I ask you to stand up if you lack confidence or if you know someone that needs Jesus in your life? Can you please stand up? And we will pray for those people who are lost. Lord God, we come before you right now, recognizing that all glory, power, and authority belong to you. And Lord, we can do nothing by ourselves, but yet you invite us to be participants in your mission to the world. All of us, all of Jesus, to all of the world. So Lord, I pray for these people standing here, Lord, myself included, and I ask that you would give them a holy download, that they would know exactly who, exactly when, and exactly what it is that they are to share with the people who are lost. May, Lord, may you give people images of people's faces, Lord, that they will know that it's their job to share the gospel with them. Lord, may you plant names in people's hearts. Lord, may you equip people for the work of your gospel so that more may come to salvation in Jesus. Lord, we pray to you in recognition that your Holy Spirit has already been working in the lives of those people who have yet to be saved before we would even have a conversation or thought towards them. So, Lord, we thank you that you bring the power to save, that you are the one that brings people to salvation. And so, Lord, for those people who do not know you in our lives, Lord, we pray that you would bring them to salvation, Lord, that you would bring them to the throne of Jesus, to the cross. And Lord, we pray humbly and graciously, Lord, that in some amazing way that you would use each of us in that endeavor. All of us, all of Jesus, to all of the world. Lord, we celebrate the future victories and we celebrate these future people coming back to Christ as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.